Good morning, church. You know, igniting our passion for God, having that passion for God, is something that has to be nurtured. It's something that has to constantly be built up. It's something that constantly has to be happening in our lives. If we try to have passion without doing anything to garner that passion, you'll lose that passion. It will stifle, it will just go out. It's like pouring water on a fire. And fire and passion are often seen together, and that's why we have all these fire examples. But this morning, I want to talk about not how to ignite. We talked about that, how to find that passion. This morning, I want to talk about how to build now that passion. You know, there's two things that we're called to do inside of the kingdom of God. Number one is to make disciples. Number two, that second part is part of building that passion. It's to then teach the disciples to obey everything that I have commanded to you. See, it's not just like we're out there recruiting. We are not recruiters for the college that try to find that athlete and we find him and he's great and we bring him in and he does great things, but we just bring him in and leave him to be. No. We have to both be recruiter and coach. That's what God's called us to do. And to do that, we've got to have a passion. You know, one of the things, the biggest dangers, two big dangers for a pastor. Number one is pride. Pride's always a big danger for a pastor. We always got to be kept in check. All right? Nate helps me out with that. I appreciate you, Nate. He does a good job. I love him. The second one is losing our passion. You know, one of the things I said when I first started to think about becoming a pastor is, how great would it be if I work for God and all I ever get to do is read the Bible and do Jesus things? Then all this sin problem would be done with, because all I ever do is focus on God all the time, right? Amen? Do y'all ever think about that? That pastor, he's so enthused with God because that's all he ever gets to do all day is God stuff. Of course he's enthused. Of course he loves the Bible. He gets all that time to sit around and read it. When you do something all of the time, it's easy to lose a passion for it. It becomes your daily grind, your routine. One of the things I caught myself saying after I've been a pastor for a few years is, I got to go to work. See, this job is different than any other job in the world. This job doesn't shut off when you leave the doors. This job doesn't shut off when you walk into your home. See, when you're a pastor, your job never stops. It's always there. It's always in front of your face. And so it's easy to lose a passion for it, to call it work, to call it this thing that everybody else goes to, but it's not, it's easy for it to not become your passion. I don't want you all to go there either. See, as a pastor, I have a danger of going there, but we as Christians also have a danger of going there. So we have got to be on our toes, and we've got to constantly be building our passion, for you are either moving toward God or you're moving away from God. There's no in the middle. There's no, well, gee, I got baptized. That was a big step. Let me take a break. I need a breather, Lord. There's none of that in Christianity. There's none of that in our faith with God, because when we said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, that means all my life, all the time. I think that's a common misconception. As people think they can come to God, call him Lord, and then all of a sudden keep these little areas over here where I'm not ready to change those yet, God. We'll get to that in a little bit. But when we said, become our Lord, that meant over all of our life. That meant, I want to have passion for you, God. And the only way to do that is to continue to build that passion. And one of the things that God gives us for that is the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be this morning. Romans chapter 12, it's a great chapter. It's a chapter for some Christian living, but it's a chapter about how God invigorates our passion, how God builds our passion, the tools that he gives us so that we keep our passions for him. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it talks about how he gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit for these passions, to build those passions, to maintain those passions. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this, and we have different different gifts according to the grace God or grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And it goes on to say some others, and we'll get there in a minute. But I want you to tell you this, that God has given you a gift. He's given every one of us a gift, a special gift that's in tune with our spirit, that's in tune with who we are, that we may give glory to him and that may build our passion for what he has for us. Let's go to the Lord for some wisdom first. Father in heaven, as we open the word, we want wisdom to impart in our hearts. We want wisdom to be a part of who we are. We want wisdom to infiltrate our minds, our hearts, so that we just don't know a thing, but we know how to apply your word to our lives, that we would be forever changed and look a little more like you. We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. During the French Revolution, some of those revolutionaries were rounded up, and they used, in France, they used the guillotine. It's a big slicing blade, coming out, takes people's heads off. I know, great illustration, Pastor, to begin with this morning. I just want to see if you were away, right? Good. If you're shocked, that's good. You're paying attention. So these three gentlemen came up, and these revolutionaries were lovers of God, and they had a passionate spirit for God. And the first one came up, and he was getting ready to be laid down. Do you have any last words? And he says, yes, I have great faith. God has given me great faith. He has given me great faith that he will rescue me from this trial. And they lay him down, and they get ready to pull the blade to take his head off. And they try, and it doesn't go. And the people are astonished, and they said, God has saved you, son. You may go free. And he went free. And the second guy comes up, and he doesn't even wait for him. He just lays his head down in there. He said, I've prophesied on this, and I know that you will not be able to take my life today, for the Lord has protected me, and I've already seen it. They go to pull the handle. The blade doesn't drop. They are astonished. He says, son, you may go free. And the third guy comes up. They lay him in. He say, you have any last words? He says, no, I'm just a man of faith, and I love people. And oh, by the way, guys, I see what your problem is. You forgot to pull the pin over there. He had the gift of helping. Every one of us has a gift to be used for the Lord. Every one of us has a special talent for God. And when we use them for God, we use them for his work, those talents ignite and they fuel our passion. They give us a deeper understanding. They give us a deeper look into who God is, and they give us something to share with the world. See, if we just come in here and we're just as normal as everybody else in the world, people say, well, so what? So what you waste your time on Sunday morning? Who cares? So what that you got faith? What has that ever done for you? You know, I've had somebody ask me that before. They said, so what you got faith? What did that ever do for you besides give you a whole bunch of rules? I said, how much time you got? They said, what do you mean? I said, I got a long story, brother. My faith in God has given me everything. It's given me a great marriage that didn't have to be great. It's given me great kids that didn't have to be great. It's given me a passion for something beyond myself so I wouldn't be a self-centered, selfish person, which would have been easy to do. It's given me a work I have satisfaction in. It's given me a life that I can lay down my head on my pillow at night and be satisfied I've done what the Lord has called me to do. It's given me a face I can look at in the mirror every day and know I'm forgiven. What do you mean, what has my faith ever done for me? How many sleepless nights do you have? He had something else to go do at that time. He wasn't ready for that. But God has given us each something to give to somebody else to show them who he is. In Romans chapter 12, I'm backing up to verse 3, and I'm reading 3 through 5, and it says this, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you. Look at that. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you. See, God gave his grace, and so now he's giving it out. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to the others, or belongs to all the others. See, God has given us this great body called the church. Every one of us gifted, not for the self, but for the service and love of others. As we're saying, for the grace given me, I now tell you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. He's saying, because I received grace, I understand this, for the grace given me, because I was a murderer, and I was a persecutor of the church, and I was prideful, and I was arrogant in my stance against the Christian church. He says, for the grace given me, he says, in my humility because of grace, I now say to you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. See, God, the faith that we have didn't come from us. It's not like all of a sudden we mustered enough faith to make it into the kingdom of heaven. God distributed those faiths to us. Faith only comes from Him, for faith only comes from hearing. Romans tells us that. If we were never to hear of Christ, we were never to hear of His great forgiveness, His great mercies and grace poured out upon the cross, we'd have no faith in Him. See, faith doesn't build within. Faith comes from without. See, Jesus is that faith. And that's what He does. I'm upside down again. They need to make this where it says like this side up. That's how these things work out when you're given these examples. This is my candle from last week. This is me. This is my candle. And I'm here to tell you that I didn't light my own candle. I am now, so I mean it only lasts so long in the example here, but you don't light your own candle in Christ Jesus. Jesus lights your candle. He's the spark that starts it all. For it is by Jesus' faith that we come to have faith. Jesus starts it all. He starts our passions. He starts who we are, and He gives us that passion to serve Him. I got a lot of passion right now. Then, it's the Holy Spirit is the fuel that sustains us. We talked about that last week. That God pours in through the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is the light of the world. That's how we get our light lit, because He's the light of the world. We come into His light. We come into His faith. We come to His salvation. See how it's all His, not mine? And when I recognize that it's all His, that's a good thing, because then I understand the grace, which makes me humble so that I know that I shouldn't think of myself more highly than I ought to, because it's not even my flame. It's God's flame that lights within me through Jesus Christ and sustained through the Holy Spirit. John 10 verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and the sheep, and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. See, He knows every single one of you. He knows what you need. He knows the faith that you need to be distributed to you. And so He lights your fire and sustains you through the Holy Spirit. And that's that never-ending fuel. See, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God, come together and sustain you. The Father created everything. The Father created the Holy Spirit, begot Him, begot the Son. He's the creator of all the earth. He's the creator of this vessel. He's the creator of existence. He created everything. The Son died for you that you may have forgiveness for your sins. And the Holy Spirit then comes to live within you. The Helper comes to live within you. See, there's this a great triune effect that provides and sustains us in this life. It is God giving everything He's got that sustains us in this life. And then He goes out, and not only that, He then distributes gifts to each one of us. And those gifts are different for each person. Those gifts can be used for pretty much the service of God, but He distributes to each on their own, tailored to work for God, but work through you for God. See, it's given to you to work for God. And of course, it's different for everyone. In Genesis chapter 49, not a verse I have up there, but in Genesis chapter 49, it begins to talk about the Jacob and the sons of Jacob. And three of them were Issachar, Dan, and Joseph. And Issachar was a good resting place, which is that's what his name means, and works hard. That's what else his name means. Dan's name means justice, and Joseph's name, blessed in his service to God. Each one of those men had their own purpose and gifted to do a different thing in the Lord. It's a great story. Go read it. And Jacob, who became Israel, for he was the father of a nation. That's where we get the name Israel from. And the people that are descendant of Jacob are the people of Israel. And that means us, because we're descendant of Jacob by way of the cross. For now we are grafted in, so whether you were Jew or Gentile, you are now part of the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel does not mean a geographical place upon the earth. It is the citizenry of heaven. It is those who believe in Christ Jesus that will come and will be resurrected in the time when Jesus comes and will become a part of his royal priesthood. That is the eternal Israel, the eternal nation. But it gives each one of us this gift to display and put on display these things. And blessed are those who search and find it early. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, or Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Notice how each one of those are external. None of those things were gifted to go inside. Those gifts are external, used for the glory of the church and God. Those are the things God gives us to shine the light, to be the light. Well, how do I be the light? Well, use your gifts God gave you to the glory of God. That's simple as that. We have to use our talents. Remember those three things that we talked about last November? Time, talents, and treasures. This is the talents part of that. God's given each one of you a talent. Some of you like out there, well, Pastor, I don't really have a talent. Keep looking. It's there, I promise. God gave each of us a talent, a gift to use for the church. You know, and sometimes some people go searching for those big talents, right? We go out there and we want those, like, famous talents, right? Those famous gifts. Like, I want to heal, Lord. I want to lay hands on people. Right? People want that one. They want that one. Or to speak it in tongues. That's another big one. Right? We want to speak in tongues. We want what we call the hyper-spiritual gifts. There are some denominations out there said, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. I don't believe in that. Because everybody's given different gifts. But everybody wants the big gifts. Everybody wants the gifts that just get put on display, right? You know the ones people don't want? Servant. I never had anybody come up to me, man, I wish I had the gift of service. I like scrubbing them toilets, Pastor. I need to serve. Nobody says that. There's coveted gifts and there's non-coveted gifts. But I'm here to tell you, whatever gift God has given you, you ought to love and honor that gift. For me, I've been given the gift of prophecy to tell forth the word of God. Two types of prophecy in the Bible, the big P, which means to tell the future, and then the little P, which is to tell forth the word of God. And even Paul says, man, I wish that, you know, for 1,000 words in tongues, I'd rather you have one word of prophecy for the people to edify them and to grow them. I didn't want the gift of prophecy. I did not want to be a pastor. I never had an inkling to be a pastor. I never even wanted to be in this place. I hate talking in front of people. It terrifies me. Every day when we're sitting there on Sunday, we're taking communion. I'm taking communion. I'm trying to focus on the body and the blood. But then my mind goes to, hey, you're fixing to get up in front of everybody. I just want to let you know that. Then the butterflies get in your tummy. Then you get up here and then, you know, a sound doesn't work right, or you can't find your slides on your tablet, or it goes dead and you're freaking out about what you're going to do. And then you're like, ah, That was not my first gift I wanted. I'd rather just have the gift of teaching, so I could do it quietly in a corner somewhere with like five people. The Lord doesn't always grant you what you want, but you got to use your gifts given to you for His glory. And each one of us is different. Although it's the same Jesus that lights the lamp for everybody, everybody's gifts are different. Just like this lamp. This lamp is a little different. Maybe I should have taken this lamp. Maybe that should have been my wife's lamp because it's tall and skinny and this one's short and fat. But everybody's gifts are different. We're not granted the same thing, although it does look kind of the same. And the light that shines is the same light that comes from the Lord. Because it's lit by Jesus Christ. He lights that lamp. He starts it off. And then, please don't burn me. No. Go on there. You know, you practice these things, but they never seem to work the same. Ow. Whoever that is burning hot right now. Who are you out there? Let me know. Whew. The light's the same because the light comes from God. But the vessel's different. The gift is different. And those gifts are used to minister to the lost and the found. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God for the Father, through the Father, through Him. See, these gifts were meant not for personal gain. They were not meant to satisfy your own fleshly needs or desires. Those gifts weren't given to you that you get rich off from them. Those gifts weren't given to you to only encourage yourself. Those gifts were given to you to give to the world, to give to the lost and found alike, to go make disciples and then teach those disciples everything I have commanded you. That's why He gave those gifts to the glory of the kingdom of God, to grow the kingdom first for the glory of God. That's why He gives them. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have to you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God did create us. He knows every part of you. He knows every piece of you. He knows what you like. He knows what you do not like. He knows what you have a talent for. He knows what you do not have a talent for. The question is, do you? Have you sought it out? Because until you're willing to go out there and find your gift that you can give to the kingdom of God, you will never be satisfied and you will never grow your passion for Him. Your light may burn, but it'll never burn brightly. It only burns brightly when we come into His will and we use those things given to us for His glory. And I'm here to tell you that when you do, your part succeeds. He's already made it happen for you. He's just waiting for you to come into it. He's already made it happen for you. He's just waiting for you to come into it. What a powerful and loving God we serve. But then once you find your gift, then you have to live your passions. Like I said, they're external. They're not internal. Romans 12, verse 9 through 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above to yourselves. Love must be sincere. Let's start there. Love must be sincere. There's a common saying said, fake it till you make it. That's how I lived my life for a long time. I faked it till I made it. I was pretty good at faking it too. Like I could kind of do a little of everything and I could kind of make it look seem like I know what I was doing. But if you really tested me on something, I wouldn't know anything. Until I actually arrived. I like to just make sure I fit in, made it look like I knew what I was doing so I wouldn't have to deal with any nonsense. Of course, I mean, I had dealt with a lot of trouble when I was a kid. Look, when you're always the new kid at school, you're always trying to find a way to blend in. Because it doesn't matter where you go. When you're the new kid at school, everybody knows you're the new kid at school. And then guess what? Everybody wants to pick on you. The bullies want to test you, right? They want to see how far they can go with you. The other people want to pick on you because you're new and different. And once in a while, you get one of the people that kind of stands out and they just want to be your friend. But for me, I was always trying to find a way to fit in. And it seemed the easiest way to fit in was just to find the biggest guy and start beating on him. I don't know why it was. I had a hard time making it because I tried to come in there and be the tough guy, right? That wasn't who I really was. But that was the guy that seemed to get in there and be able to make a name for himself. And I didn't have to worry about bullies no more. I didn't really care about anybody else. I just got tired of dealing with those kind of people. So I go in there and I handle that right off the bat. And I'd be done with it. I'd be done with it. But you know, it wasn't who I was. It wasn't who God created me. It was who I was being fake about. And I'm going to tell you, I had more trouble trying to get through my high school careers than anything because I was always the new kid. Never seemed to fit in. And it wasn't until I finally had grown up a little bit, been in service a little while, and you know, you're always the new kid in the service too because you're always PCS and moving to a different base. And the biggest thing that I found out you could do when you walk in is just to walk in with humility and say, guys, I'm just looking to learn. Teach me what you can teach me. I know you guys know more about this than I do. I'd appreciate if you teach me. And when we remember that God gives us these things and he gives us success in these things, it's the same in the kingdom of God. We can walk up to people and we can say, look, I don't really know nothing. I want to use my gifts for the Lord, but I just don't know how to make my way in. I don't know where I can serve in your congregation. I don't know how I can be a part. Can you help me? Can you teach me how to navigate these things? Can you teach me how to work my way in? Can you teach me the place I need to be? And God will use and honor those things. That's why he gives us the gifts. He gives them to us that we may honor him, that we may do the great things in his name. But we've got to do it in love, and we've got to do it in sincere love. We don't want to come in with fake or false love for people. People spy that out in a minute. People be like, yeah, he doesn't, yeah, he puts on a good show, but. Now, he don't really care. She don't really care. They like to look good. They are some of those people who like to see the booties in the seats. They don't really love people. They don't care about them after they leave on Sunday. Folks, I don't want to be that church. Amen? Amen? All right, we'll make sure y'all don't want to be that church either, y'all. I'll make sure, because if y'all that church, I might need to quit today, all right? I ain't going to be that church, y'all. I want to love people all the days and not just on Sunday. I want to make sure what's going on in their lives. I want to use my gifts to get into their lives because I want to inspire others to have a passion for God. That's what we want to do. We want to inspire them. See, that's what love is all about. Love is inspiring others to gain and to go and to soar higher even than yourselves. See, that's what it said. It said, don't think so highly of yourself, but think of others above yourself. You want to see their love grow. You want to see them soar. It's just like with our kids. We want to see them soar higher than we ever did, to experience the things we never experienced. It's the same thing with us in the church. We need to grow those things. That's what they see in this. Romans 12, verse 11 through 13. Never be lacking in zeal or behind in diligence. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. I love those words. I love what he's saying in here. Don't stop. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's what the NIV says. Jesus said, you know them by two things. You know them by the love for one another. You know them by their fruits. Folks, we're a church without any love, without any fruit, we're dead. We got to be seeking how to have passion for people, to use those gifts, to use our passions to go out and to grow people, to never be lacking in diligence. Don't lose your zeal for God. Do not lose your passion. That's another word for zeal. Do not lose your passion for God. Do not lose your passion for the lost. When you wake up in the morning, yeah, I think about my kids, I think about my wife, but do we think about the lost when we wake up in the morning? Do we think about those who really need Jesus that are around us in the morning? Are we praying for them? Are we saying, Lord, put people in my path that need to hear your word? Because if we do, he'll honor it. And he'll build on your passion and your zeal. As it says, persevering through tribulations, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. You know, we have a whole ministry now devoted to hospitality. Why? Because the Bible says so. How are we as individuals, though, with our gifts, practicing hospitality towards other people? How are we loving on first the people in the church and then the people who are lost? How often do we practice hospitality outside of our own home and our own children? How do we practice hospitality to our community? Because it comes in two forms. Number one, it comes as the church, where we practice hospitality. And we do that. We have, you know, we have great sermons and stuff on Sunday, right? Amen. I try. We have great music on Sunday. Thanks, Miss Jacqueline. She does a good job. She tries. Right? We have a welcoming environment. I see you guys out there loving on each other, fellowshipping with each other. I see that we have things coming up like the Fall Fest. We had the outdoor church stuff going on. We had the barbecue fellowship. We got the fellowship lunch coming up on the 19th. Don't forget about that. Y'all bring a salad or some bread. There's a sign-up sheet out there. I'm just getting announcements out of the way right now. We have the kids on Wednesday. Give them some food. Then we fill them up with the Word of God. That's two of the three right there, or two of the five right there. But how are you individually doing that? Do you invite lost people to your home to have lunch? Do you invite them out to go to lunch? Pay for them? I know that's a lot to ask, right? What do you mean, I got to pay for them too, Pastor? Look, they're blessed with my company. That's enough, isn't it? Pay for them to have some lunch. Don't be stingy. Love on them. That's what burns our fuel. That's what causes us to burn brighter than the things other people do. See, our fire can light the fire in other people's, especially our enemies. See, the great thing about this is I wish I had another lamp. I don't have another lamp today. But the lamps can light each other. And you could go down a whole line of lamps and just lighting each one. Folks, that's what we do. When we have our passion for God and it's burning brightly, people ask you, why are you so crazy like this? What's different about you? And you're like, I got the light of Jesus in me. Would you like some? And you light their lamp. And they catch a fire for God. And we just light each other up. And when somebody else's lamp is burning low, you can encourage them and cause their fire to burn a little brighter. And you can love on them, because that's what it says to do in practicing hospitality. But I'm here to tell you, in all of this, evil will try to defeat you. Evil will try to come in and destroy what you are doing. So what do we do with evil? I'm glad you asked, because right here in the next one. Verses 17 through 19. Oh, I love what it says here. This is good stuff right here. Y'all pay attention, okay? It says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Man, that takes a lot of pressure off me, doesn't it? I ain't got to repay nobody. I don't have to worry about all that justice stuff. I just have to love people. That's it. See, what do you do with evil? Number one, you show grace. Paul was given grace, as we said at the beginning, by the grace given to me. I was a murderer. I was a great persecutor of the church. And you know what happened to me? God showed me grace, and so I'm going to show grace. See, grace is the hardest thing to show. And I don't think I can beat this in enough, so I'm going to say it again. Hardest thing to do. Why is grace the hardest thing to do? See, a lot of people think forgiving is the hardest thing to do. Forgiving is easy. Because forgiving just means I've taken the pressure off myself to hold a grudge. That's it. It's easy. Forgiving is easy. It means you forgive the other person. They're forgiven. Grace, on the other hand, is hard. Why is grace hard? Well, let me tell you, it's because the grace of God put Jesus Christ on a cross. See, grace costs me something as the one who was wronged. That goes against everything we've ever been taught. Somebody wrongs you, you're owed. They have to pay you back. They have to pay you back by apologizing. They have to pay you back maybe by going to jail. They have to pay you back by giving you money. We have a whole court system built on suing people. I'm going to sue you because you wronged me, and I'm going to get mine from you. I'm going to get mine, right? That's what we say. I'm going to get mine, but what does God say? Do not take revenge, for vengeance is mine. He says, give grace. He says, it's going to cost you something. But you know what it's going to cost your perpetrator? Nothing. It's going to cost them nothing. When Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and me, what did it cost you? It didn't cost you a dime. God's love doesn't cost you anything, but it costed him everything. That's grace. See, grace is getting what you don't deserve or handing out to other people what they didn't deserve, which means you're going to release them from accountability. And I'm going to tell you, for those with deep hurts out there, I'm not saying this is easy to do. What I'm saying is it's necessary. It's necessary to prevent bitterness from welling up in your heart. It's necessary to prevent begrudgment from holding you from shining your light to other people. It's necessary for you so you can build your passion, so that you will stop letting evil rule your life and you will allow the light of Christ to shine through instead. That is a huge testimony when grace can be shown to those who have hurt you the deepest. But we have a sacrificial faith, not a comfortable one. Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. But I'm here to tell you, when you show grace, it causes your fire to burn brightly. Because in the end, God's wrath is a terrible thing. And if anything you want to take comfort in, it's knowing that God will avenge his people. God will avenge evil, and he will take care of it. Don't believe me? Ask Moses. Don't believe me? Ask David. Don't believe me? Ask anybody out there who God has come back. Ask the people of Babylon how God poured out his wrath upon them. Ask the people who died in Sodom and Gomorrah how God's wrath poured out upon them. God will deal with justice. You deal in grace. And know God's got your back. But the greatest thing in all of this, the greatest thing that will ever happen, is when the person hurts you the deepest comes to know Jesus. Because there's never any more deeper repentance than those who have done great evil have come to the Lord and found that fountain of love and mercy. That's the greatest thing we could ever pour out upon our enemies, is the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love your enemies, Romans 12, verses 20 through 21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, what Paul is getting at inside of here is he says, you got to be the light for evil. You got to help drive away the darkness within their hearts. You've got to give them what's going to be that saves them and brings them into the light. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now look, this only goes so far. I'm not telling you if you're standing there and somebody's got a knife to you that you're not supposed to defend yourself. That's not what I'm saying here, folks. Jesus was not a passive Jesus. Matter of fact, before when he sent out the two by two, he said, well, you don't take anything with you. Don't take your cloak. Don't take your staff. Don't take none of this stuff. Only take the Lord with you. Let the Lord be your provision. And yet at the end, Jesus resends them back out. And this time he says, if you have a cloak, sell it and buy a sword. He said, defend yourself against the evil. But the biggest thing you can do to defeat evil is to do good. To feed them. To love on them. To show them the light of Christ. For nothing pierces the darkness. Nothing makes the devil more angry than when you're doing good. You pour heaping coals upon his head. You irritate him beyond all measure when you look at your enemies and you can pray for them. And you can say, Lord, let me be the light to them. Let me be the one who shows them the love of God. And your actions will cause your light to burn brighter because you're adding fuel to the flame. Because you're living in righteousness and you're doing the will of God. And let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. When you're doing good and you're using your gifts for God and you continue to pour out and you continue to give out and you continue to allow God, I'm telling you, God pours back in. He says, those who are faithful with little will be given little. Those who are faithful with a lot will be given a lot. He says, when you're faithful with the gifts I give you, when you're faithful with the Holy Spirit and the great things and you're doing good things, he said, I'm going to give you a little more. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a little more. And when you continue to be guilty, I'm going to give you a little more. And I'm going to give you a little more. And I'm going to keep letting you burn bright. And I'm going to keep letting you burn hot until the point where everybody all around can see you. Where people have no doubt that you have the fire of God within you. When you burn brightly. When you burn out the darkness. And people are saying, man, why don't you ever get down about anything? That's what we ask Jim sometimes in a minute. Why don't you ever get down about it? Because that man's got some fire burning in his belly. He says, I don't even have bad days. I got God days. And God's always pouring out on me. And there's no bad days. He says, there's only opportunities for me to use my gifts for God, for me to pour out into other people, for me to give the gospel to other people. I'm going to tell you what, Jim got it figured out for the most part, y'all. He ain't perfect, but he's got some things figured out. Y'all want your lamp to burn bright? Talk to Jim. He'll get you in the right place. He's a great encourager. He's using his gifts for the Lord. And let me tell you, you can do the same thing. You can be the same way. And when you're burning bright like that, guess what? You're close to the warmth of God. When you're burning bright like that, you don't have to worry about the darkness. You don't have to worry about evil creeping in. You ain't got to worry about the devil being close because you got God and he's burning bright within you. The devil can't stand to be around you. Amen. So let your light burn brightly for the Lord. Let your flame grow big for Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the